Stephen. Almost everyone knows who I am. I'm just going to be asking the questions that all you guys want answers to, and I'll be asking the people that can answer them for you. So I think let's get started with it, eh? So let's go for the first one, eh? And we'll have, bear me 1 second, we will go for who is on the Aries team, and that's to both of you. So whoever wants to answer first.
Yeah, I'll take it first. So I'm Cole. Most of you guys probably know me, played with me, hated me, loved me. All depending on who you were, what side you were on. Some of the past names you probably known me by were like Chaos Legend, Blur, or if you played with me way early back in the day, it was Yo Auntie, which was made as a joke because both my aunt and grandma play the game. Generally, I'm going to be doing a lot more of the management and development side of things here. With, you know, our partnership with Mgame, the development's kind of split a little bit more, so more on the management side. But still quite a bit of things to do. And then I'll let Glitch introduce himself.
Cool, thanks. Yep, Glitch. Other usernames that you might know me as is Warm Turd, Starwave, and a long time ago in the international days, Samurai Jack. I barely even remember that name, so I'd be surprised if anyone remembers that. My role is to co-lead with Cole running Aries, but to be more precise, it's more to be in charge of the day-to-day operations, generally speaking, with focusing more on community aspects and making sure that, I guess, that anything that is, you know, upsetting or disturbing the players, or even good feedback that we get from you guys, is heard by the development team, being Cole and the other developers over at the Mgame side.
There's one more. We can't forget. We do have Blue on the customer support team. You know, me and Glitch are on opposite time zones, so we wanted, you know, at least someone to cover the middle ground in case one of us is, you know, asleep or busy or whatever. Just so all of your guys' tickets get answered quickly and handled. So show him some love as well.
Okay. We'll move on to the next one. And this one is for you, Cole. What made you want to take on this challenge of bringing Aries back to the US?
Addiction, I guess. You know, I'm just like most of you guys, played it back in the day, fell in love with it. Gargoyles, you know, I've got a lot of fond memories of like my first voice chat jumping on TeamSpeak. A bunch of you guys were actually on there too. You know, cheating at the old school game is actually what got me into computers and set me on this path of like software engineering and whatnot. I don't think I would be into computers nearly as much if it wasn't for Aries. And so, you know, when Red Fox came around, I built the guild portal for our guild, which helped do all the management stuff, and it was all coded by me. Helped with some of the translations for the second Chinese version. And, you know, ultimately, I'm pretty stuck on Aries, and it is just as stuck with me because I'm not going away.
Okay, that sounds good to me. All right, we'll move on to you, Glitch. We've got one for you. Aries is a massive undertaking and extremely time-consuming. Why did you want to get involved?
I guess because I enjoy being able to interact with the community and with all the in-game functions and events, and just seeing, you know, the players use some of the systems that we put in and getting the feedback on that. I actually enjoy seeing that stuff. Oh yeah, and trade checking Cloud. That's the highlight of my career in Aries. but like most of us here, Aries is one of my first, you know, MMORPGs I ever played with, and it just had that addiction feel to it, which just made me, you know, keep coming back to it over the last decade and a half, throughout all the different iterations and variations of the game. And I always thought to myself, you know, I'd love to do the GM developer role, you know, one day, And when Cole approached me, yeah, to help out, I wasn't going to say no to it. But yes, it is very time consuming. Coming home from work, I've still got day-to-day jobs, and going straight into Aries work. Sometimes, I just forget to eat and drink, but I don't see it as a chore. I look forward to getting my hands dirty on it every day. Yeah. Thanks, Steven.
You'd love it.
Yeah.
Let's move on then. We've got this one's for you, Cole. Why will this version be different than all the previous attempts?
Let's say most importantly, because both of us have struggled with all of you guys on every version up until this point, the pain is all too real. All of the same issues over and over again. This time around, we've got real development happening, both on our side and in-game. All of the fixes going in are being vetted. The game won't be released until it's all up to snuff. And lastly, we love Ares. Like, that's just 15 years of dealing with this. If we didn't love it, we wouldn't be here now. And so it's finally, being operated by people who care about it.
Oh, that's good to hear. All right, I got one for you, Glitch. And this one, a lot of people have asked this one. So when will the game be released?
Yep, hear it every day. Ares win. The new meme. But yeah, the loaded question itself, basically, I'm going to reiterate what we've said, every single time. In quarter one, 2024, full transparency, there's still a lot to do, but we are, we believe, on schedule. But we aren't going to release the game until it's actually ready. So there's no shortcuts. We're not going to get it because we're being pressured into putting it in. We want this to be the best possible version that we can provide you guys. And to start that off, it needs to be working right from the get-go. We can't just, release this half-baked game and then issues occur. And then, in a year or two, we get closure. That's not what we want. We want to be around for the long time. But we also would like you guys to remember that we're only a three-man team. And most of us have full-time jobs as well. Well, I'd say all of us have full-time jobs. So we are going as fast as we can with the spare time that we're able to provide to the game. We are working very closely with the M-Game sub-company that runs the Korean version and also the Korean developer over there. But so far, they've been brilliant in actioning all of our requests, all of our little hiccups here and there. Their developer is just absolutely amazing. He's nailing everything. In short, we're not going to take shortcuts, but we'll give you the best possible version we can when we release it in quarter one, 2024.
All right, brilliant. Cheers for that, Glitch. I've got one here from Saito's asked this question for you, Cole. Do you anticipate any blockers in obtaining developer rights, or is it just a matter of timing? And does the same hold true with them maintaining them over time?
I think I'm going to flip that and start with the last bit. So, publishing rights, for sure, we've already got, terms on renewal. We should be all fine for quite a bit of time. As long as the game's healthy, the game's not going anywhere. As far as development rights go, I can't get into a lot of specifics as far as, contracts and stuff go. I can tell you that, we have plenty of control as far as quality is concerned, where we wouldn't have entered this any other way. Our deal is not typical. A typical publishing agreement in this regard would be like them doing 100% of everything with us doing nothing. That's not what we were looking for. So, with it being atypical, we are doing quite a bit of development as well. It's just kind of around what they are doing rather than directly influencing the actual game code. But there is still plenty of stuff going on. And we are directly testing everything that they do. Originally, I was like, cool. I definitely want, development rights at some point. However, at this point, they are greatly exceeding all of my expectations. Everything that we've asked for has been done very quickly and been, pretty secure, which is fantastic. It's everything that we wanted. So, you know, long term, maybe we'll get into more of the development in the game. But right now, we're doing everything we can, and they are doing everything they can. And we'll have a healthy game because of it.
Okay, brilliant. I've got another question for you, Cole, but this one's a phallos. Can you elaborate on what you mean by wanting the feel of 2008 alongside modern playability?
Someone got into my blog post early. Yeah, so, you know, ultimately, we just want to strive to get to the feelings that we all had in, the, like, 2008. Back to grinding out those hard-earned levels, somebody coming and PKing you while you're grinding away, and you're like, oh my god. And let's bring in the whole guild and just charge that one person, and just, you know, suddenly a guild war develops. You know, these are, like, the memories that, at least for me, is what made me fall in love with Ares. However, Ares is closing in on 20 years old now. There is quite a bit of things that could change to make it a little bit more modern, more playable. A prime example of this is, like, screen resolutions. In the current client, the max screen resolution you can do in windowed mode is 1600 by 900. I don't know any of you guys have a monitor that's the resolution, but it's been a while since I heard of that being the main resolution. So that's one thing that we want to definitely modernize. To give you some more examples, you know, none of this is really concrete, but we definitely want to do bigger screen resolutions. We want to make the UI a little bit more movable so you can kind of reposition things and hopefully save between logout and login. Another thing, as far as modernization goes, I've seen this in a lot of other games. It's like AFK EXP boosts. So when you're logged off, you kind of get like a little bit of double XP the next time you log in. It caps out at like 20% of your level, so you can never get a full level of double XP. But if, like, let's say you go on a trip for a week, you'd come back and be able to, you know, get free double XP for a portion of your level. It'd be balanced. It wouldn't be OP in any regard. You know, it is just kind of like a little nice to have type of feature. Some more examples of like stuff that gives you those 08 feels is the EXP is going to be slower. You know, in previous versions, you would fly through, you'd be done with like underwater cave well before you got even one good stat dropped out of there. Whereas, you know, back in 08, I don't know how many 17s and 19s I farmed in crystal because it was just like so much easier than getting that caught gear. That's kind of one of the things that we want to get back to. Not going to go super deep on the others, but old Etana, we want the old look of everything and hopefully some of the NPCs and whatnot. And then, you know, one of the more request features, helmets. We'd love to get helmets back in the game. That is a firm maybe.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer for that one. We've got another one off Valos, but this one's to you, Glitch. Glitch mentioned that Holna will become more significant again. Can you elaborate on that?
Yep. So, if I remember correctly, Holna back in the day was more of a social gathering than anything else. Apart from, like, you had the morality system and you could, you know, PK people at the gates to gain points or lose points. There was that. But I think if, you know, I'm being blunt, it was more about the social aspect. You know, you'd have, you know, all of you just sitting outside the gate, you know, looking at people coming through the gate and then either deciding to kill them or not kill them. It was always funny when, you know, 10 people would just aim at one person coming through the gate and this poor defenseless player would just get obliterated. That's the sort of thing that I would like to bring back. So plans, it's not fleshed out yet, but one thing that I would like to do is just having myself, you know, once a week, once a fortnight in that area for an hour or so, just chatting, you know, answering this kind of stuff, these kind of questions, you know, but in game. You know, or it could be in Discord as well. We'd jump in a Discord voice for anyone that wants to. But I'd also put in some incentives as well to be in the area. Not going to say what, because that's also not fleshed out yet. But there would be something. But yeah, definitely want to bring back that old vibe. The whole point of this is bringing back the old feel that we all know from the international days. And Etna is, well, not Etna, sorry, Holna. Etana, Etna, what do you call it? Holna. I call it Etna. Yeah. But Holna, you know, Holna Gates was that, you know, that fun area to be with when you're over grinding and you just want to chill out. Yeah.
Oh, sounds good, that does, mate. All right. I got a couple for Cole. This one's off Valos and Element Future. And will we have a ranking system for the highest players, best guild, most Daric, etc., etc.?
No, definitely not at launch. It's one of those things that was controversial in the past. It could be added at some date. It's pretty easy to add something like this. Definitely, you know, very easy. Personally, I think it pulls away from the point of shout colors. I like, you know, someone shouts in game and you're like, ooh, well, he just hit 141. And you know, if you've got the rankings, it's kind of like everybody knows exactly what level you are instead of kind of just a general range. But yeah, you know, if it comes down the line, you know, a month from now, 2 months from now, everyone's like, well, we really want to see, you know, level rankings or whatever, but don't show the level or, you know, whatever people want, it's definitely possible and fairly easy.
Okay. Another one for you, Cole, off Valos. How confident are you in the game's security and integrity? What measures will be taken against those who cheat?
Extremely confident on all of our fixes so far. Everything that's been done and we've tested has exceeded expectations. We figured there would be some bugs that would need to be fixed up, but so far everything's been patched exactly how I asked for it to be patched, and it's working very well. The biggest thing is, you know, the game's not going to be released until we're fully confident that it's entirely cleaned up. There's not going to be duping. There's not going to be any of the crazy stuff that we've all had to deal with in the past. You know, even like movement speed cheats, you know, attack speed, sending attack packets, attacking in town. There's so many that I could list off. They're all patched. It won't be released unless they are. I do need to highlight that I wouldn't be a developer if I told you that there would be 100% security. That's just not possible, and anybody that tells you that's possible is out of their mind, and either they don't know what they're talking about, or they're lying to you. So with that in mind, there needs to be a backup policy no matter what. Ours is going to be extremely strict. If you get caught cheating, it is an instant permanent ban. If it's a severe cheat that requires additional actions, there's no limit on what we'll do to kind of clean up the game, whether that's wiping items, tracing character actions, etc., etc. You know, we'll go down the list and make sure that the game gets cleaned up after we've discovered this cheat. The biggest example for something of that is like bots. If you think of games like RuneScape or whatever, the common pattern is to mule your money and then sell it or trade it or whatever. You know, and so games like that, they'll ban the bot, but then they don't ban the mule, or and they don't trace the gold or whatever. Ours is going to be much more severe. We will literally ban the account. Whoever's benefiting from this will receive a ban. You know, if there's always like, oh, well, he bought this off me or whatever. Yeah, but it's pretty clear in most of these cases who's directly benefiting the most from a bot, and actions will be taken.
Okay. Sounds good to me, that. Cole, for you again, mate, from the Valos. Retroline, I guess that's what it says. Staggered release. What content is released with launch, and what time frame can we expect the next map or content to release?
Short and sweet. At launch, we are going to end the content at Herschel. That does not include Herschel Cave. So as far as bosses go, you will have access to OD and Bappo. There will be plenty of things to do. We think that that's the best initial split on Stagger due to being able to farm real gear in, you know, Underwater Cave and getting that BOS that everybody really wants, or an ROS if you are a mage. Yeah, so, you know, that's the first answer is Herschel. Second one is more around, like, time frame towards, you know, next releases. Our current plan is to drop content every month. But with the lowered EXP rates, this might change. You know, it's still very much up in the air. The one thing we have locked down, though, is that Herschel will be our first set of content.
Okay. I've got another one for you, Carl. This one's a Sharpie. How do you plan to stagger and create content over a 3-year period? And do you have the tools and ability to add new content?
Yeah, so staggering is not going to last years. That's not what we're looking for. So, you know, initially we will catch up the players to existing content. There's a lot of content in KLOA and even, you know, later versions of CLOA that many players that played the international version never experienced. You know, Herschel Cave 6 through 8, Hero Territories, there's all kinds of stuff that, you know, we don't really have the experience with. Some of those might happen, might not. I think that where we would say, yes, we are fully caught up and we want to, you know, start testing or rebuilding or even just reusing their content going forward would be after Herschel Cave 5. Everything beyond that point is kind of up in the air and will either be changed or added as is or whatever. The question also asked about tools. We have everything, like with Mgame as well. There is no issues adding new content fully from scratch. All of the teams and tools are in place and ready to go.
Okay. Another one from Sharpie to you, Colt. Will there be a catch-up mechanic for new and returning players?
Yes. Sometime, eventually. I don't think people need to catch up in the first month, but we'll figure that out as it comes and get into the specifics at that point.
All right. This one's from Valos to you again, Cole. PvP Nostalgia had some rules. ILOA was open season. Where do we stand?
PvP will be open season as well. I still do think that there needs to be a good way of protecting new players so that people aren't abusing people that are getting started on the game. I don't think that we're going to do that in a banning fashion. However, you know, we have some time, just like the catch-up mechanics. So most likely as part of the catch-up mechanics, there will be some way of protecting these new players built into those mechanics.
Okay, sounds good, that doesn't it? All right, Valos. I've got another one from Valos, and it is to you this time, Glitch. Can you elaborate and to determine what is toxic and what is competitive shit flinging?
All right. May as well call this the Valos talk show because all these questions.
Yeah, might as well, yeah.
Basically, I mean, the rules are on the Discord. You know, it's, you know, they're under rules, you know, for anyone to view, and most of them will carry into the game. You know, it's just common sense, really. The usual shit talking. You know, I don't think many games get to say this, but it's just a core part of this game. And we're not going to take that away from you. But we will take it away from you when you go too far and get personal with it. That's just, you know, not on. In the past, there's been some scenarios where this has happened, and it's just, it's unbelievable what people say to others over a game. And it's just not worth it. And we'll take action on those individuals pretty severely, as if you were cheating in the game for this kind of stuff. But yeah, expect that, you know, the standard set of rules. Just act like a, you know, a decent human being in game. You know, don't be racist, don't be sexist, you know, that kind of stuff. But the usual shit talking, like, oh, Valos, you're crap, or Valos died, you know, kind of thing. That's fine. Yeah, we're not going to take that away from you.
Sounds good. Straight up balance, right?
Yeah,
right,
clip this my one. Terrible laugh.
Right, this one's from Retroline. This one's to you, Cole. Where will class balances be at compared to past versions?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good question. To start, we're not planning any significant changes. We would like to be as close to the original as possible. However, there are some, you know, you could call them changes or quality of life improvements, whatever you want to call them. We identify them as smaller, but still kind of a nice to have for certain classes. For example, the first one that we want to be able to do is that every class, your final skill should be what you're shooting for. Imagine, you know, mages shouldn't be using the fifth one. Archers shouldn't be using core. Whether that means we reduce the damage of it, rebalance it, whatever. We want to get every class to be using their last skill. Another one is, you know, some weapons we feel are missing attack speed. One of those is like the quest bow for archers. Like, it makes zero sense that it doesn't have attack speed. Even the, like, knight sword and everything have attack speed on that quest item, which normally don't. The TBS is another one, which will make a lot of these people happy. We haven't decided on whether it's going to be the graced-only version or not, but there will be attack speed. Another one is Spearmen. They have that half damage issue going around. We'd like to get a fix in for that. Self-targeting AoEs, that mostly benefits, you know, Spear and Knight, but being able to like hold right click instead of spamming the right click button to be able to use your AoE, you know, it's just a quality of life thing. And lastly, specifically for archers, we want to make quivers not completely useless pre-140. So expect like a little bit of damage on some of the new, like lower level ones. Nothing crazy. It's not going to be plusable, nothing nuts, but it shouldn't be like, oh, you're useless with your quivers until 140. It should kind of be like a gradual increase.
Okay. Well, talking of quivers, quite a few people have asked this one. It's you again, Cole. Will quivers be unlimited?
No, they are not going to be unlimited. So one thing that we want to do is that the standard quiver you normally get at start and also buy from the shop with zero stats on it and everything, we want to increase the quantity of that significantly. Think like 10 to 50,000 arrows. It's where it's, you know, effectively unlimited. You're not going to be wanting to carry multiple of them unless you're really low. But that is only for the standard. You shouldn't be stacking up arrows with a standard no stat quiver. Now, when it comes to the ones that are with some damage or a little bit stronger, or, you know, wind quiver drop from a monster, it's going to be a little bit lower. However, we do want to increase the arrow counts from original. It's just not going to be on the level of like 10 to 50,000 arrows.
Okay. I got another one here from Frank Voice and Richeline again. To you, Cole. Can we have a posted draft of the plus shop prices as soon as possible?
Yeah, I'm not going to do a full posted draft until it's final. I don't want all the, you know, constant chatter about it. You know, we will be fully transparent as soon as it's finalized. There's still a lot of math happening, and it's one of those things that's, we're still long ways from finalizing this. For instance, we're not finalized on like what the commissions are going to be for what payment gateways we're using and all of that. So there's still quite a bit of work to be done. What I can do is share our general vision for the plus shop. What we want to do with premium and the day-to-day buffs that you're going to be wanting to use, we're going to make those more affordable. So, you know, expect premium to be cheaper. Expect stuff like your stat buffs or, you know, what's another good one? I don't think of tiers as another day-to-day, but let's say stat buffs or like your max HP pots or stuff like that. It'll all be significantly cheaper. As far as like luxury items or cosmetics or one-off items go, think metas, shifts, skill resets, gender changes, stuff like that. They'll be a little bit more expensive to account for making the day-to-day stuff cheaper.
Okay.
To keep going on that, we do want to make one item stacks purchasable, kind of like what you've seen in other versions. So you're not, you know, forced into buying 20 Beloshi or whatever. You could buy one or whatever. That might not happen. We're still working on the old school plush shop that we've all come to know and love and some of us hate. So we'll see how possible that is. But, you know, that's the goal. And then lastly, I'll get into some specifics. So I really have to highlight that this is TBD and this is just generally what we're targeting. It could change, could go up, could go down. We're only going to have one type of premium, and our current target for that is $8. Now, stat boost books, say like your strength or concentration or whatever, we want to do 3 cents each. Then you've got, you know, the 4MS buff I treat as like a... I see that as luxury. You don't need max movement speed. You're trying to buy that, it's a luxury item. You could get it from other stuff, whatever. You don't need to be buffing that 24/7. Those are going to be 20 cents each. Now, I know what everybody's really wanting to hear is guild calls. Our current target for the single guild calls is 2.5 cents each. All guild calls, it's going to be about 4 times that. So generally, if you've got to call 4 or more people, you're going to want to pop an all. If not, you're going to want individually single call people. Unless you're lazy, and then you're just going to spam all guild calls. Another one, and it's probably the last one I'll get into, is the special return scrolls. They're going to be about a penny and a third each. So say like 13 cents for 10 is a good example. But it's all the day-to-day stuff should be fairly cheap. And then stuff where you're like, oh, I don't really have to use this. It'll be a little bit more.
Okay, talking of plush shop, we've got one more question in respect to that. This one's from Valos to you, Cole. The famous RNG loot box.
It's funny. I talked to a couple of people about this. And, you know, while I remember it and a bunch of us do, a lot of people have no idea what this is. So
me being one of them.
To give a little bit of a recap on what an RNG loot box is, in previous versions, you could buy this, like, chest, I want to call it, from the plush shop, and it had, like, variable rates of rewards to get, like, some OP item. Beyond that, they would also do, like, oh, whoever spent $1,000, or, like, whoever spends the most this month, you're going to get wings, but it's going to be account locked. I mean, that kind of stuff is not going to happen here. Ever. I don't want to rule out gamble boxes. My terms for gamble boxes are that there won't be any crazy rewards. So you're not going to get anything you're going to get in game. So there won't be wings, there won't be imp braces, there won't be anything that's an item like that. And it will almost always fully favor the players in a financial regard. So think about like a $2 box. The worst thing that you would get out of there is, like, let's say 10 4MS buffs, aka still $2. It might not be what you wanted, but it's still $2. But then there could have been a chance for, you know, premium out of it, which is $8. That's as far as, like, we would go with that.
Okay. I've got another one from Sharpie and Sunlancer. This is to you, Cole. Will there be new quests?
Yes, we're going to have new quests. No, there won't be new quests at launch. The one thing that goes back and forth in my head is that original, the quests weren't required. You didn't have to do the quests. Now in like Red Fox and stuff, the quests were worth doing. There was decent rewards, but like you still didn't have to do it. We want to stick to that. That's one thing that we're, any quests that we add will be optional. You'll want to do them for the rewards, but if you don't care for it, you don't have to do it. Another thing is, if you care about the lore, we would love to start expanding the lore via the quests.
Okay. I've got another one for you, Cole. This is off Sharpie. Will you create horizontal progression, catch-up, side tasks at certain stages instead of each content drop increasing the item grade?
It's a good one. So, side character progression is on our list. We do want to do side progression. We're just not sure how yet. We do want to do some side activities. So, like, there would be, like, a main quest line, but we do want to have, like, side quests. Like, oh, go kill this, or do that, or dailies, or whatever. And then some stuff like PvP arenas or other rewarding PvP content.
Right. This one is from Fapper King. This is to Glitch. Can we have some quality of life improvements that we are now used to? Like the no stamina, no cores for gold plus and up. No item destruction where when failed to plus, whatever. Stackable sods and sops. And all tradable plus shop items.
Alrighty, so first the stamina. Yep, there will be no stamina. For the cores, no, we're going to keep them in. However, we want them to make them more accessible. So they're not, we plan to not just have them come from just bosses. And, you know, usually, you know, that turns into just being one or two guilds being able to farm them, and then the rest of us, you know, get nothing because, you know, people want to play differently. They don't want to play in a big guild. They might want to be solo players. So we want to cater for them as well. Item destruction when failing. So item blessing is going to stay the same as the original. So at least at launch, but it may be subject to change in the future as we introduce new things like that. Stackable sods and sops, I believe. Yes, they will be in. I'm pretty sure they do it already. So it's already in there. And the tradable plus shop items, yes, they're already tradable. You can buy them. You can stick them in your vendor. You can trade with a player. Yep, that's already all there.
Okay, I've got another one for you, Glitch. This one's off Tributor, and Sharpie. I know it's been stated the EXP rate will be lower than other Ares versions. How long are you anticipating the average player to get to level 101, roughly?
Because the rates are different, it's not really possible to give you an average on how long a typical player would get to that level. Right now, I don't have the math to do that, nor the time to try and level to 101 by myself at the moment. This type of experience structure, like, it hasn't been seen in Ares since like the international version. I can give you a rough estimate on the difficulty factor compared to like a private server that most of you are familiar with, Nostalgia. So if you're wanting to know how difficult it is to get to 101, you're looking at roughly, and this is all, you know, to be, you know, decided. You know, we've got alphas, we got betas to go through. If we get, you know, bad feedback, EXP is too hard, EXP is too soft, it will change. But based on what we have now, if you're looking to get to 101, you're looking at a 15 times factor in difficulty from 1 to 101 compared to Nostalgia. So with that times factor, you can calculate your own time to reach that level, you know, based on your own play time. It's not as bad as international, days. So we're in kind of like the middle. We're still on the harder end of the scale, but not as hard as international. There was roughly, I believe, a 20% buff in experience from international. So you're not playing like you were in 2008, but let's be honest, it's still going to be pretty difficult. But feedback will be involved, you know, the alphas and the betas, and we'll take that on board.
Cole, I've got another one for you here from Retroline. Will there be any changes to leveling areas so that you aren't stuck in Cyrus from level 10 to 70?
I don't know many people that could survive Cyrus at like level 10. I mean, unless you have like SVIP with 100 defense and like all the crazy stuff that is just ridiculous. But even then, I still wouldn't be in Cyrus at 10. But anyways, we're not going to be adjusting the optimal leveling path. You know, that all comes down to player preference. You're going to level where you want to level. And I don't think that it should be like, oh, there's only one correct way of grinding this game. There isn't. You should play it how you want to play it. Beyond that, like, with the EXP changes, your gear becomes quite a bit more important. Like, my personal leveling strat would be to grind as much as I can and as early as I can get into Underwater Cave. I want to start getting those crystal drops and getting some stats. Like, that'd be my first goal. But yeah, that's where we stand.
Okay. Glitch, this one's for you. From Cloud. Are guild member limits going to change?
Yes, they are. So the guild cap will be at 30. But initially, you will start at 20. So because the game uses a tiered level system based on your level, of the guild master for how many members you can have, we'll be changing that system to basically go with the direction that we want. So yeah, there's not that many players in the game these days. Like back in the day, there was probably sufficient players to actually keep a 40, I think it was 40 or 50 guild limit. So we're dropping that because of the population of the game. So the way it's going to work is level. So we're not changing the level structures, just the members. So from level 40, you're able to create a guild. So from 40 to 49, you can have a max of 20 members. From 50 to 59, you can have 25 members. And then from 60 onwards, you get the max amount, which is 30. But, you know, it's going to come down to your guild master and how long they play as well. And yeah, as we just talked about the leveling structure before, it's not easy to come by these levels. So it's going to be difficult and it's going to be worth the time to get more members into your guild. So yeah, that's the direction we're going with that at the moment.
Okay. Sounds good. This one's for you again, Glitch, from Sharpie. Will you be focusing on expanding existing content and systems, or will you be focused on changing the core gameplay in ways that players request?
Yep. So I hear you loud and clear, you know, because, you know, a lot of the mechanics in the past in other iterations just haven't worked. This is the, you know, copy of the original full-fledged game. So poison, dodge, whatever kind of mechanic it is, burn, freeze, stun, I guess. I mean, stun was probably working in most versions, but they'll all be working. Yeah, we're operating off the actual game, but that'll leave us more time. You know, instead of fixing broken mechanics, which hopefully there'll be none. I haven't seen one yet that is broken from being in the test server, but that'll leave us time to fix a lot of the old, outdated content that Cole has mentioned before. You know, we want to introduce new things, but not entirely change the core structure of the game. But some things, whether it's core or not, is, you know, outdated. One example, Warfare. we definitely need to change warfare. It is just a PvP farming mode for medals, and that's it. And no one actually does the PvP involved. It's just player versus building, really. But we also have an array of content from Endgame to pick and choose from. You know, once we get to that point of Herschel Cave Floor 5 and onwards, for at least for player, you know, PvE content, but we'll still introduce, you know, content in between that doesn't actually like affect the different environments that you might come across. Like, for example, and this is not decided, you know, floors 6 to 8, or some of the new Korean content where they actually have Etana ruins, they have Ogre Spire and Barda Temple at a very, very high level. That kind of stuff we can introduce, but we're a long way away from that.
Okay. I've got a bunch off Valas now, and this one's to you, Glitch. How will earrings be obtainable in the game, and previously they were primarily event items?
Right, so they won't be event items. Basically what Cole said before is we're not going to stick them in some RNG box and make you pay for the privilege of trying to get one. That's not the way we want to do this. So they're going to be in-game monster drops. We know that 100%. There might be, you know, an event where you might get to do an event, you get an earrings, but it will expire. We're still open to that option where you get this totally OP item, but it will expire. We're not going to put OP items that you can only get during the event, which leaves other players who weren't able to get on, you know, suffer further down the line. As for the actual question, you know, how will they be obtainable, or what will give you those earrings? We're still undecided on that part, but we are potentially looking at the first earring being dropped from Kraper King.
Okay. Yep. Okay, this one's from Valas again. To you, Glitch. The G11 boss gear, what's happening with them?
So we're not going to include G11 gear at launch. However, it will be relabeled, nerfed, and brought back down to G10. I can't go into the actual specifics of the items themselves, like the stats, but your ODR, your Baffo Neck, they will be G10. They will be in the game. So, but we just don't know what we're doing with the balancing for them right now. Because we know that, you know, the ODR especially is iconic. Basically a core part of the game at this point. So we don't want to take that away from you, but we do have to make some changes to the item.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things to keep in mind is the Emp Brace. There's a G10 and a G11. You know, the ODR is, in its original form, balanced against the G11 version of the Emp Brace. So there is a G10 as kind of like a model for the rest of these to go on. So that's kind of where we want to go. And, you know, there probably will not be an upgrade option to make it a G11.
Okay. This is for Glitch again from Valas. Will the drop tables reflect the KLOA counterpart?
Yes. So upon release, there'll be very, very minor changes to the drop tables. So you should expect the original ones that just come with the game. But we are looking like removing certain things that just, you know, because their content is so far ahead. You know, there's items, there's NPCs that just don't belong in the starter part of the game. So we're trying to remove those, and then eventually, once the population or the player population gets to the point of expecting those higher items, then we will reintroduce them as part of, you know, KOA content that they already have.
Okay. And all right, we've got one for Cole here from Valus again. Where do we stand with HC? Will it exist? And what are the plans for it? Changes? So on, so on?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it'll exist. We're not just going to throw away content. But at the same time, there's a high chance that it's not going to be exactly the same as original. You know, I'm not going to get super deep on ideas or changes or anything right now. It'd be mostly just guessing. You know, there's a lot that could, a lot of directions we could take that. But, you know, as we get closer, we'll have more concrete changes and testing rounds and all of that to go through.
Okay. That's for you again, Cole, or Phallus. Will there be any Shebna changes?
At launch, no. You know, the main issue with Shebna was, like, you know, one, bosses, just, like, suiciding the bosses, and then also, you know, leveling in Herschel Cave. So, we'll see if the suiciding the bosses thing becomes a real problem. I think we're a ways out from that becoming a problem, and then also Herschel Cave is quite a ways out as well, so let's first make sure there's a concrete problem to solve rather than just kind of guessing off of past issues.
Okay. Glitch, I have got one for you, and this is from Valus again. During boss fights, people hide under the boss to not be targeted. Is this going to be changed?
So, at launch, no. We have no plans to change this right now, but it is in our list to talk about and scope out, and we actually did discuss this the other day, and we do have some ideas floating around if it does become a real issue. But, you know, we know it's an issue. It happens every time in games, and we do have some solutions that we can implement. So yeah, but nothing static at this point.
Okay. Cole, this one is for you. And certs are going away. What is happening to them?
Yeah. So certs, as you remember, you could get them from like the Mercenary Guild and different maps, and it was kind of, you know, just a slot filler with some basic stats that kind of grew over time. Yeah, so they're getting removed. There won't be the Mercenary Guild for getting those. The stats are going to be auto-applied with each level, kind of like we've experienced in the past and, you know, some other versions. We are planning to reutilize the slot eventually. Currently, we're not going to put anything in there. You know, balance is very delicate. We don't want to upset that with new items.
Okay. All right, another one for you here, Cole. And what is the new slot next to the belt?
Yeah, most of you don't know of this yet, but so I figured I'd throw it in here. Might start seeing it in some screenshots and videos and everything, but there is a brand new slot right next to the belt. It was first added in Korea Ares, and it's still kind of getting finalized, but it is called an aura. It kind of does these cool glowing animations around the character. And in Korea Ares, there's going to be quite a few different stats that can be on it. We don't think, just as in my previous answer, balance is delicate. So ours is going to be primarily cosmetic. There will not be stats. That's the only reason we're keeping it around, is that, you know, it's a cool little glowing cosmetic that I think everybody would really like.
Oh, yes, yeah, sick. That would be cool. Well, that's the end of the questions we've got here, but we do have a few more. One I would like to ask, is there any way of having a pickup pet?
Yes. It's very difficult to have an auto loot pet system. The actual functionality of making it pick things up is fairly easy. but then it's going to pick everything up. So you need some way of like configuring it to only pick up certain items and all of this kind of stuff. So that turns this like, you know, half a day project into something that's a little bit longer, because, you know, now you've got new UI that needs to be editable, things need to be stored, all kinds of stuff like that. I would say that it's possible that we add it at some date, but it is important to take into account that there is, you know, this is real version. It's a, you know, official version of a game. It can't be done in some hacky approach.
Okay. Okay, I've got one from Telemage to whoever can answer this one. What about latency for EU players? Are we going to need an external program to be able to play nicely, or?
It's like any other game. You know, unfortunately for the EU players, you're connecting to a US service, so there will be latency issues. You know, for me, I live in Australia, and you know, we get just stuffed on for every single game, unfortunately. But there are ways of, you know, helping that. So you may have to. I'm not going to say you have to, like 100% have to. I've been able to play the game at about 250 ping or so. I don't know what the latency would be over in Europe, but there will be paid VPN subscriptions that we will try and offer you all through Mudfish and Exit Lag that you might have seen in the past. Did you want to say anything, Cole?
No, I mean, that covers it. We'll do what we can to make it easier for you to use one of these services. For example, Mudfish isn't the most user-friendly.
Exit Lag is easy to use for being an EU player.
Exit Lag is way easier to use, but like, I want to say 10 to 100 times the price.
That's what I use because it's easy.
Yeah, Mudfish is quite a bit cheaper, just harder to use. So if we could find a way to make that easier for people to use, that is our goal. We are not going to be kind of, you know, there's not much we can do actually to cater and make this better for people, except for helping you use one of these services. Because we're not just going to, you know, it's a whole separate company if we wanted to rebuild one of those services.
Okay, I've got another one for whoever can answer this one. Eximorph, I've been hearing, and I know you guys are a three-man team, and probably this will be too much, but what about Android and iOS versions?
Yeah, probably not.
So this one's from Almost God. Server hosting, some players had issues with the ping. What about the performance of the game, about FPS, and what kind of, and that kind of thing?
I mean, server hosting's US. It's going to be the same sort of ping issues that you would have connecting to a Chinese server, a Korean server. You know, depending on your location, it could be better for you or worse. We will be hosting most likely on the East Coast of America, or US. And so with that in mind, it's closer to the EU to help out. Kind of screws over Australia, but yeah, just more of like a central location than picking, you know, one side or the other.
Okay, I've got another question, and this is a second part of his original question, which, will there be plans to address people who to try to work two guild into more of a get around of the limit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. If you want to go ahead and do that, then by all means, you can. It's just going to be, I guess, difficult to try and run two characters at the same time, but I don't see any problem with that, apart from, you know, having more members technically in the same guild. But that's the whole point of the alliance system, is to use that with other guilds. And if you want to have a sub guild, use the alliance system. You'll still be able, you know, we'll probably have guild scrolls in the game. This isn't decided, by the way, that you're able to summon an alliance guild, for instance, to help with that. But for the most part, 30 members, that's a lot. And most of the time, you're going to just have alts in your guild. So you're never going to have really 30 members on at a time. But I'm happy to be proven wrong.
Okay. Alex, your question is already, I already wanted to answer that, so that one's already been answered. But we've got one more from Valus again. Are we going to have the QOL to sell gear easier? Because he hates that slow ass confirming to sell crap.
Same thing as auto loot, or pet looting, or whatever you want to call it.
No, this is selling the gear to the shop.
No, I know, but it's the same problems. You still need to decide what should sell. You're not just gonna want to sell everything. So there still needs to be a system in managing it. So it is another bigger project, but I'd love to add it. I think that as much as it would affect balance, I think it is a good quality of life thing to have. Reading your message, yes, there will be a way to sell faster.
Okay. Well, I think that is all the questions that have been asked in chat, as well as everything we've gone through. Is there anything else you want to do? Do you want to have a quick burst session, or do you want to just have a nice ending at that?
There's one more. Telemage asked about, is there any restrictions from the in-game side? Not 100% what you meant by that, but mostly no. Anything we've asked for so far has just been done. I can't go super deep on much else, but yeah.
I think there was one more from Valos about Hazels. So they won't be in the plush shop for sure, but we're not going to opt them out as a drop of some sort.
They'll have weight.
So.
What is that? I don't even know what's that.
It's an OP health potion.
Okay.
Yeah, they were plush shop health potions. You could buy a stack of them that would automatically heal like 2K at a time or whatever. And they weighed nothing, so you could hold hundreds of thousands of potions at a time, both health and mana. They might be thrown in as like a drop or a vent or whatever, like just bigger health pots at that point. They will have weight, they're not going to be weightless, and there's not going to be a way that you could just buy a bunch of them. You might be able to stockpile them from like event rewards from multiple players. But if somebody's using them, you will know that they are a finite amount of them in his inventory. It's not like we're going to have somebody with 100,000 Heazles running around.
Okay. We've pretty much asked everything that's been asked. We've answered everything that we can. Most of it is subject to change. You never know what might happen. So bear that in mind.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening in and asking the questions. Hopefully we'll make all of you guys proud with this game.
And I can't wait to see you all in game.
Well, we'll try and see if we can do this every month or so. We'll probably expect to get a lot more questions once the game is up and running. If this is, it turned out pretty well. At times we had like 22 people in here, so... And if you guys get value from it, we get value from it.